There we go. All right, I just want to point out a half sheet little flyer. It's the way that you can order Professor Rolnick's book. And it's actually you call or go on to their press.com website and you can order his book if you'd like. And those will be on the table here on your way out. And there's a discount for this class that they offer.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And Nelson, you I think you should have the first question. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead with whatever you have.
You talked about the fact, hypothesis, and theory of how things become facts and then they get sorted into hypotheses and become theories. And then later you talk about stability and dynamism, and you talk about the stability is such that the change is so slow that we can't see it. So if we can't see what we are hypothesizing or theorizing actually take effect, how is that science?
We see it through the DNA. If the studies of the DNA, when you line up the DNA, it's amazing what a good biologist can discover from that. People who spend their life studying like one of the human chromosomes or something and comparing it to other animals, it's remarkable. So evolution, in some sense, isn't so much a predictor, because the future is just really, really hard to get. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? I mean, we don't know that. But what evolution is very good at is telling a story of the past. So the DNA can be traced all the way back. And looking at that, you find things like, you know, people worry about our relationship to the chimps, for instance. That's a big, big worry. Now, I'm going to show you next week why I think it isn't a worry, if we can hang on for that. But we have something like, I believe, if I remember right, I think we have something like a 40% overlap with bananas. we do, because DNA is in everything that's alive. So now let's go back to Big Bang Theory, if we can, for a moment. Let's go way, way back, even beyond evolution. Remember, we started this, we have a 10 billion year history before evolution even starts. Evolution's a newcomer, just got here. It's only 3.5 billion years old. And it starts with a single cell, bacteria. Now, think about bacteria, not too long, but just enough, long enough to say that imagine a system that's so creative that it goes from a single-celled bacteria to the person sitting next to you. That's creativity. That's the creativity of creation. And what I'm going to labor mightily to show you in weeks 4, 5, and 6 is that this is actually a superior way to look at the world of creation. Now, there are some difficulties, but tonight is really the worst. I mean, we just got through the deepest, darkest, worst stuff, and you're still here, so I'm optimistic. So anyway, that's what it does. It tells a story. You line these things up, and you can see where the divergences are. And then oftentimes, you can look at a fossil record, and that will confirm the divergences. Yes, Dave.
You mentioned earlier the complexity of the eye in this lens, to say that it implies a designer, all that kind of thing. But, and then you mentioned earlier creatures who might have had a very simple eye that could see shadows or whatever the case might be, and then that would evolve over time to being able to see shapes and so on. Is there such a thing as a simpler eye?
Yes. Like there's certain worms that have a light-sensitive spot, and that confers great survival advantage on them. So it goes up from the worm and into each of the evolving clades, they're called, and then into the various families and species and so forth. So yeah, it does work. But did you want to follow up with that, Dave, or does that make sense to you now?
That's fine for orders, but I wonder if there, if, you know, I guess looking at fossil records, you can't figure out how complex an eye is.
Well, you can. You can tell. They can tell an awful lot of stuff. And if they see like an indentation, you know, like in a bone or something, like, well, what was the indentation for? And if it's in a place that's likely to have been one of those things, there's always an inference that has to be made. You know, so it's not like it doesn't come stamped with a big sign that says evolution took place here. You know, you have to be able to read. The same way, you know, if you were tracking an animal, like deer tracks, something like that, you'd have to be able to read the tracks. We had a question.
Oh, well, I was just going to piggyback off. I think deer, I don't know, I work with students, and one was doing a deer report. I think deer only see in black and white, so isn't that almost a simpler form of our eye, because we see in color?
Yeah, the former chair of my department was like that. Dave?
I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but... You know, they talk about the missing link in evolution, right? So, I mean, is there a link in the past to where there was a simpler eye which evolved into a more complex eye which evolved into our eye?
You can see the links in the different species. You can see a progression of better and better eyes through different species doing different things. Now, in human beings... And in human ancestors, the eyes were already pretty much in place, and the fact that we're upright, that we're bipedal, two legs, and that our faces are facing forward, that's because of a certain cavity in the back of our neck that holds the head in such a way that we can look forward. This also was a major step in evolution, rather than the kind of monkeys and chimps that are... they really can't stand upright, at least not for any length of time. Okay, questions? Moses?
I have a kind of going off of that. So he talks about, like, the simpler eye, and, like, as a nation and as, like, a people, like, we start growing with time. And so my question is that with evolution, since it started as the beginning, will there be like an end or like a kind of, or will there be, because since something grows, it can't grow forever. So for evolution, will there be like an end, I guess?
What a great question. Thanks. Okay, let me quote C.S. Lewis here, or allude to him anyway. And he said that... In Jesus Christ, a whole new kind of evolution came about. And it was an evolution that went to a whole new level, where we're not just going along linearly anymore. There's been a tremendous leap where heaven and earth have joined, and there's a whole new kind of evolution going on in humanity because of the incarnation of Christ. So, and then there's a German... A New Testament scholar, Gerd Tyson, who said that in human culture we have, quote, evolution of evolution. So we were speaking earlier during the break with someone whose grandfather had died of a heart attack. And this fellow had one as well, but he's doing quite well. Now, why? Not because of evolution. That's not the way human beings are evolved. We're not evolving like the rest of the world is evolving. We're evolving now through culture, through the mind, through cooperation, through community. So there's something unique about us. But I need to prove that to you, and that's our final class, actually, is human uniqueness. I'm going to try to answer every single one of these difficulties. And I know you'll press me until I do or fail. Let's take, maybe we can take one more question, and then I want to spend the rest of our time, because we only have 7 or 8 minutes left, on the parable of the talents. So, okay, nothing.
you said that sex was important to the progression or the continuation of the species, and you painted this beautiful picture of pretty birds and chirping and how they had to chirp very strongly and everything else. But how do you explain that when you talk about the praying mantis female who bites off the head of her mate as soon as they mate it? So you can be selective in the story
Let me explain that, actually. The reason that some insects will bite off the head of their male mate, the females do it, you know. Be careful there. This is what you have to look forward to. Okay, so there is a class on Christian marriage down the hall. All right, so the reason that they do that is to get a protein meal for the young. It feeds the eggs. Plus, the male has done his duty. From an evolutionary point of view, he's scrappy.
Why? If in fact the progression of his genes through giving new life, and he is at the pinnacle of praying mantishood, why can't he spread that praying mantishood further and further and further instead of being brought to an instant stop?
Those guys are a dime a dozen. So, you know.
It's just that the explanation for every one of those differing things I have a hard time accepting.
Well, I've got even tougher ones but it's 808, and I'll try to tell you about some even tougher ones like the one you're referring to next week, and why it works and why it's really all right. Okay, but now if we can, with whatever pending questions you have, and let's do this as we go forward. If it's possible, Jessica, we'll even get some file cards and just have you write down questions on those, and we'll spend some time on a later session, maybe week 5 or 6, just dealing with any questions that have come up from any of the sessions, because you're in a certain sense your questions are more important than anything I'm going to say. Those are the issues you're facing, so we got to get to those eventually. So, but just in the sake of time tonight, I want to end on a positive note, which is the Bible. So could we have let's do a Lectio Divina with the parable of the talents, and let's I'll ask you to just read a couple of verses, and then as loudly as you can, and then pass it on to someone else. So Mel, would you mind starting? Would that be okay?
Just a couple sentences?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, read it all if you get inspired.
All right. The parable of the talents. For it is like a man going on a journey who summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey.
The one who had received 5 talents went off right away and put his money to work and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went out and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money in it.
After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled his accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more, saying, "Sir, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master answered, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master."
The one with the 2 talents also came and said, "Sir, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master answered, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been fulfilled with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master."
Then the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Sir, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered, "You evil and lazy servant.
So you knew that I harvest where I didn't sow, and I gather where I didn't scatter. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore the talent from him, or therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For the one who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Oh, so it has a happy ending. All right, now this parable is the way that I have approached evolution myself. And this is the way I approached it in the book, Origins on Evolution. It's on Big Bang Evolution and Fine Tuning, and also on Virtue Theory. So let's talk just a bit about the rewards for the first two servants. So what do you see in the first two servants?
Enter into the joy of your master.
Yeah, that's one you want to hear. That's one I want to hear. A well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Whatever theories that I have that are right or wrong, that's what I want to hear at the end of the run. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. But what did they do to get the reward?
They gambled it.
Well,
I mean, you don't know exactly, but they could have gambled it. Somehow they ended up gaining more.
Now, Linda, would you call the work you do gambling?
No.
Yeah, so it's an investment, actually. So there has to be some risk. You're right about that. You really are. There has to be some risk to do any investment. But it's an intelligent risk. And anyway, they managed it well, and they both doubled the investment. And any time one of my advisors does that, I'm very pleased as well. Hasn't happened all that long.
Well, and they worked, because the master says to the other one, you were lazy. So they added value through their work.
Bravo, that's exactly it. They worked intelligently with what they were given. Now, evolution is a lot like this. It requires you to work with what you're given. Now, let's look at the third servant. Let's find the third servant. It's in the middle, two-thirds of the way down or so. Then the one, you see it, let's see. Do you see it there, Nelson? Would you read it for us, please?
Then the one who had received the one talent came and said, "Sir, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours."
Now, pause there. Thank you. All right, now this is such a great speech. First of all, Jesus gives magnificent parables. There were other people who made up parables. Nobody can compete with Jesus. You might have a high bar for the Son of God incarnate, and once again, meets and exceeds expectations here. So, what a striking example. The guy not only didn't work, what did he do with it?
Buried it.
He buried it in the ground. And then when he buried it, he impudently goes to his master, the guy who hired him, basically. He's been hired for a job, which is investment. And he said, "You know, I knew you had, you're a hard guy, you're a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, you capitalist pig," you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, what's the point of hiring somebody, you know, let's break even or something, you know. But he says, "Giving it back just the way you gave it to me." Now notice you can't say that. Development is required. It's required in the kingdom of God. And it's required in the realm of evolution. So what are we doing here in these sessions? We're trying to develop. We're not trying to take anything away from faith. I wouldn't even be here if I thought that's what was going to happen. We're trying to take what we've been given and actually develop it. Make it stronger, make it better, make it more persuasive to those who are unpersuaded, to draw more in, to re-evangelize a world that has fallen in love with these scientific things, and so forth. That's the object of the game, and we're doing this together. But keep the parable of the talents, keep the sheet, bring it back next week if you would. I think we need to keep thinking about this parable, and we'll make it the theme as we go forward. That's really what we're doing. We're trying to take what we've been given and make it even better through science. We're taking science as a new talent. Science is the talent that has been given to us. Now, what can we do with it? So once again, thank you for reading tonight.
Thank you, Professor Holnick. Father, do you want to end in a blessing?
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you all glory for creation that you have shared with us, the understanding and the wisdom you have given us tonight. And we say glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. John the Baptist.
Pray for us.